This past week, I read of an unusual Easter worship service. The pastor announced at the beginning, "Next Sunday will be a special Easter service. My sermon subject will be the power of his resurrection." There wasn't much unusual about that announcement, except that it was made on Easter Sunday. Now, there were some knowing looks from the congregation because they knew sometimes the pastor might have the wrong dates in the bulletin or even have the wrong names printed in the bulletin and maybe forget to put the PowerPoint for the scripture reading. You know how that goes. But the pastor hadn't made a mistake in this instance, nor was this a gimmick to just try to keep up the attendance. It was his way of underscoring the fact that every Sunday we gather to worship, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. One reason that we worship on Sundays is because he was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And so every week is a commemoration of his resurrection. In fact, he explained later, "Preachers who celebrate the resurrection once a year are no better than folks who only go to church on Easter." Ouch. Now, interestingly, I had already planned the subject of this morning's message before I read that story. And in fact, we are going to begin a series of messages beginning today and going for the next several weeks on that theme of the power of his resurrection, living in the power of his resurrection. Now, that account came under the title Easter Every Sunday. My title for this morning's message is Easter Every Day. Now, I already can think or imagine some of you are thinking, Easter every day? I got to dress like this every day? I can't afford to cook an Easter dinner every day, and let alone all those eggs. You know, can you imagine filling Easter eggs every day? Coloring them every day? Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Not celebrating Easter the way we've been accustomed to doing. What I mean is celebrating Easter every day in the way we live. My text for this morning is not taken from the end of any of the four Gospels. It's actually from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The words of the Apostle Paul in verses 10 and 11. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead." I'm going to suppose this morning that you already know the story of Easter. Although that maybe I shouldn't take that step. There's a story of a pastor who asked three teenage girls, "When is Easter and what happened on that day?" And the first said, "I think Easter's in the fall, and that's when we dress up in costumes and get candy." "No, that's not Easter." He turned to the second who said, "Isn't Easter in the winter when we put up trees and give gifts?" "No," the pastor was getting a little bit frustrated. So he turns to the third girl and she says, "No, Easter is in the spring, and it's when Jesus comes out of the grave." And the pastor interrupted her and said to the other two girls, "Now listen here, she can tell you what Easter is really all about." Turned to the third one and said, "Continue." And she said, "Yeah, Jesus comes out of the grave, but if he sees a shadow, we have six more weeks of winter." So close, yet so far. I am going to presume, though, that you know the basics of the Easter story. To quote from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Easter is the culmination of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And many people know that. But unfortunately, that's as far as it goes. Once a year, we pull out our Easter clothes, color some Easter eggs, fill some Easter baskets, sing our Easter hymns, and when it's over, we put it away for another year. How sad. I suggest that Easter is not a date to be celebrated, but a dynamic to be cultivated. Many years ago, my dad had printed up a sheet, and at the top of it, it said, "My purpose." This was his purpose statement for life. And it was our passage this morning, but it was taken out of the Amplified Bible. "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death." That's a mouthful. But that's also a very fitting purpose for our lives. To know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What's that mean? What does it mean to know Christ and the power of his resurrection? What's that look like in the life of the believer? This morning I want to introduce this idea, and in the weeks to come I want to explore how this looks on an everyday basis. Let's begin with what I'm calling the original explosion of Easter. Why in the world would you use the word explosion when it comes to Easter? It actually comes from the word power there in Philippians 3. The Greek term that is translated power is a Greek word dunamis. It appears 119 times in the New Testament, mostly in the pen of the Apostle Paul. It's translated power, miracle, mighty works. Literally, it means force, but not just an ordinary force. It's a strong word denoting supernatural power, something you can't explain naturally. Now, the English word dynamite actually comes from this word. Back in 1867, Alfred Nobel, who was the creator of the Nobel Peace Prize, he actually invented dynamite. And when he was looking for a word to describe his new invention, it comes from the Swedish word dynamite, which comes from the Greek dunamis. So there's a definite connection between these words. It's not so much a translation as it is a transliteration. Now, it doesn't refer to explosive powder. Obviously, when Paul wrote this to the Philippians, gunpowder hadn't been invented yet. Dynamite wasn't around, but it's a power that is far beyond human strength. It's something beyond what we can explain psychologically or physiologically. Scientists may try, but they can't do it. This is the power of God. And that power of God was on display on that Easter Sunday morning. We could use dynamite to paint a picture of the vast greatness of God's power. Explosive power. Not just run-of-the-mill strength. This is something that comes only from God. And Paul wasn't thinking in terms of blowing something up and destroying it. But that magnificent power is demonstrated in the empty tomb. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, using the same Greek word for power, he says, "That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms." Same word. And notice he uses other words that speak of power as well. The working of his mighty strength. There's four different Greek terms here that all have to do with the ability to do something. That power, that dunamis, that dynamite that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. If you want a great illustration of the power of God, you don't have to look any further than the empty tomb. That is a demonstration of his great strength. Paul often combined this term for power with the resurrection of Jesus, not only there in Ephesians, in Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you catch that? He was declared to be the Son of God, how? With power, by the resurrection of the dead. That was the stamp of approval. That was the authentication that Jesus of Nazareth truly was the Son of God, because he rose from the dead. And by the way, he is the only leader of a religion in all world history who has risen from the dead. Buddha is still dead. Confucius is still dead. Every founder of any religion, any time in world history, is still in the grave, but Jesus Christ lives. Amen. He is risen. And he has been raised by God's great power. Now, there is a way, I think, where we can understand this explosive power of God in a destructive force. Consider 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 26. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That destruction began on the first Easter Sunday. When Jesus emerged from the tomb, death was put on notice. And as I love the words of that classic poem, "Death, thou shalt die." That was the statement Jesus made on Easter. Death, your days are numbered. And the day is coming where death will be no more. Amen. Look forward to that day. He has destroyed death. And then in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So in many ways, Easter has exploded in the realm of Satan, exploded his grip on humanity through death and the fear of death, through the power of God. And we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. That's what I mean by the original explosion of Easter. This power, this dunamis, this dynamite of God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the greatest miracle of all history. This is no ordinary occurrence. You say, well, what about all those other people that were raised from the dead? Very different. When you read in both Old and New Testaments, if someone had died and they were brought back to life, that was a resuscitation. That was their mortal bodies being brought back to life. Not saying it wasn't a miracle. Not saying they weren't really dead. What I'm saying is, when they came back to life, they still had to die over again. You know, we think, wow, that must have been really cool for those people to have died and come back to life. Yeah, but they had to go through death twice. But when Jesus came back from the dead on Easter, he will never die again. And one day, when we are resurrected, when he comes back, we too will be raised to everlasting life death will be no more. And that is the power of his resurrection. A power we can know in our lives. The power that took that battered, beaten, crucified corpse in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and raised it to life. A glorious life that will never end. As incredible as is the miracle of Christmas, Almighty God becoming a human being, I believe the miracle of Easter is even greater. New Testament believers saw the resurrection as greater even than creation itself. This is the greatest event ever to take place. The greatest demonstration of God's power. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus had to die and pay the debt for our sin. But as 1 Corinthians 15:14 puts it, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. If Jesus had remained dead, our sins would have been paid for, but there would be no hope beyond this life. But thank God, he's not still dead. He is raised, and he is living forever. And so now we move on to the ongoing experience of Easter. See, this isn't the whole story. Beyond the original explosion of Easter is the ongoing experience of Easter. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to all of God's people today. This is what Paul talked about in Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not just know about it up here. Not just know the facts. Not just know what happened and when. To know it, to experience it. Every day. To live in that power. Remember, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I was, not I will be, I am. God lives in the eternal present, and so do we. It's right now, right where we live. It's one thing to know about the resurrection, it's another thing to know the power of his resurrection, to experience it on a personal basis. It's not just a dramatic miracle, it's a dynamic power. That's another word coming from dunamis, dynamic. It's a dynamic in our lives. It's something we can experience. We read in Ephesians 2:5 that God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For every person who has decided to follow Christ and make him Lord and Savior, you have experienced an Easter in part. Spiritually speaking, you were dead in your transgressions, but God raised you to life spiritually. Even as one day, God will raise you to life physically. That is a present experience in the life of the Christian today. The resurrection means that not only do we have a hope for the future, we have a hope that comes from the future. The Bible's startling message is that when Jesus rose, he brought the future kingdom of God into the present. It is not yet here fully, but it is here substantially. And Christians live an impoverished life if you don't realize what that means to you, to know what is available to you. So Paul prays for the Ephesians. That passage that I read in part earlier from Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power to us who believe. There's dunamis again. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. In the resurrection, we have the presence of the future. the power by which God will finally destroy all suffering, all evil, all deformity, all death. When that comes at the end of time, it has broken into history, and it's available, partially but substantially, right now. When we unite with the risen Christ by faith, that future power that is potent enough to remake the universe comes in us. It is alive in us. That incomparably great power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is in us right now. So we are to live in the light of that new creation. We are to participate in the future resurrection life in the way we live right now. If Jesus was raised from the dead, it changes everything. How we conduct our relationships, our attitude toward wealth, toward power, how we work, everything in our lives. And you know what else it does? It removes forever one word from our vocabulary. That's the word can't. The Christian has no business saying, I can't do this, because in the power of the resurrection, you can. If God has led you to it, His power will see you through it. But so often we convince ourselves that I can't do this. It's hopeless. I can't change. I can't do what it takes for what God wants me to do in this part of my life. And that power is available to us. It's residing within us if we would just tap into it. But sadly, so much that goes by the name of Christianity is nothing more than man doing his best, trying harder and failing. That's the sadness. We all know we're not saved by grace, we're saved by trusting. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest no one should boast. We know that. We're very clear on that. But once we're saved, we think we live the Christian life by trying harder. And that's not true. We're not saved by works. We're not sanctified by works either. We're saved by grace. We live by grace in the power of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. When Jesus said in John 15, 5, without me you can do nothing, he was talking to his disciples. Those who had already determined to follow him. And we see time after time through the Bible, mankind working in their own strength. And what happens? They fall flat on their face. But in the power of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as a Christian, there is nothing God has called you to do that you can't do, because His power says you can. And that's something we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come, how this affects various components of our lives, how the power of the resurrection changes us and enables us to do, quite frankly, what we're unable to do on our own. That's what Easter is all about. Let me give you an illustration. There's two ways to power a computer. You can run it on battery, and that'll eventually run down and you need to recharge it. Or you can plug it into an ever-flowing power source. Problem with the battery is if you forget to recharge it, or if you're not at a place where you can recharge it, your computer will stop working. I think too many Christians are running on battery power. They're running on their own strength. They're doing the very best that they can. And you know, sometimes they do it pretty well, but eventually you're just going to run out of power. Our power is of short supply. Oh, you might go to church on Sunday and get spiritually recharged, but boy, by about Tuesday afternoon, you're running a little low. And if Sunday morning is all you do, where are you at by the end of the week? But when we plug in to that permanent power source, The power never runs low. It becomes a way of life. And that's what Christ offers to us. You plug into my power. You plug into the power of my resurrection, and you will constantly have my power flowing through you. You'll never come to a point where you can't do it because you don't have the strength. My strength will always be with you. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but it's similar to what we're talking about here. The power of the resurrection is God's dynamic power that raised Jesus from the dead. And according to Paul, that incomparably great power is at work in us to make us holy, to make us more like Christ, to enable us to follow His commands and His directions. You know, it takes extraordinary power to change a life. In fact, nothing less than the power of God will do. And so I challenge you this morning. Do you know the power of God? Not just in the past, not just a hope for the future, but right now. Are you experiencing the power of His resurrection on a day-by-day experience? That's why we can celebrate Easter every day. No, not talking about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and clothes and Easter dinner and all that stuff. Talking about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the single most powerful act in history. The power of God conquered death, raising a corpse to eternal life. And because of Easter, we too conquer death if we put our trust in the one who rose from the dead. But that's only the beginning. Christianity isn't merely life after death. It is life now, today. It is, in the words of the Bible, living in the power of His resurrection. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at specific applications of that. But today, we celebrate the fact that we can live in the power of His resurrection over death. God has conquered death and given us eternal life for those who trust in Him. So I urge you, if you have not taken that first step, if you have not committed your life to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, do so today. On this day that we celebrate a triumph of life over death, you can begin your new life today. And you can celebrate Easter every day. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You not only for Easter, but for what it means. The demonstration of Your divine power in raising our Savior to life again. Conquering death, conquering sin, conquering Satan. Not only in the future when this life is over, but it begins right now. And it is my prayer that we might, on an everyday basis, know Christ and the power of His resurrection flowing through our lives, transforming us, making us more like Him, so that others will see Him in us and come to follow Him as well. Help us to go from this place and never be the same. May that incomparably great power that raised Jesus from the dead change our lives forever. And it's in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.